Today's reading begins in Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." So if you back up to Luke 14, verse 1, you see that Jesus was at a Pharisee's house having dinner there. And someone had said in verse 15, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And so that changes the conversation. Remember that the first section in chapter 14, he had healed a man. And then verse 7 had given the parable of the wedding feast. And now he's giving this parable about this great banquet. So again, Jesus is using the opportunity with things that are happening and things that are going on around him in order to turn the conversations to a spiritual focus. He's trying to make applications that will benefit those that are hearing the things that he's saying. So he's describing God's kingdom as this big banquet put on by the Master, which is the Messiah. And so he tells this story and talks about all these invitations that are given out. And when it comes time for the banquet to actually come, nobody wants to come. They start giving excuses. Put yourself in this position for just a moment. Try to make this personal. Let's just say that you were going to have a big party. And that party was, let's just say, a major milestone. You know, maybe it's a big anniversary. Maybe it's your 25th or even your 50th wedding anniversary. You've decided to have this huge get-together to celebrate this event. You've planned for it. You've gotten caterers to come in. You've gotten all this thing made. You've rented somewhere maybe to have this get-together. You've sent out formal invitations to people. And then when the day comes, when you're ready to finally celebrate, you've done all the hard work to get ready, you're ready to celebrate with your friends and your family, nobody shows up. If you're sitting there in a big hall with all the caterers and all the food and nobody shows up and it's just you sitting there, how would you feel? You'd feel terrible. You'd feel alone. You'd feel abandoned and rejected. Especially if they come back and start giving excuses like this. Somebody says, "Well, I bought a field. I have to go out and see it." Okay, you bought a field and you didn't look at it first? You didn't investigate it? We'd think that would be a bit odd. Another says, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them." Kind of the same thing. Would you buy them sight unseen? I suppose you could if you really trusted who you were buying them from. But couldn't that wait till tomorrow? Another says, "I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." What would be your response? Bring them along. Certainly if I invited you, your wife gets to come too. And I realize that there are some cultural connotations to this, but you understand that these were excuses. People didn't want to come. And that would be your conclusion too, if you were the recipient of these excuses after planning for some huge event for everybody. Wouldn't you then feel like you were being rejected, that they were just excuses, they did not want to come? Now, they're angry. You can understand the master being angry at all the preparation, and then it doesn't come to anything. Nobody shows up. And so, in that moment, he tells his servants, go find me some people. I prepared a banquet. We're going to have a banquet. He begins to say, look, if these people don't want to come, then they don't get to come. If they want to make excuses, then they don't deserve to be here. And so he begins to tell them, you know, go out and find me the people that are not usually invited. I mean, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Still, there was plenty of room. Go out to the highways, the hedges, compel people to come in. He wants his house filled. Go to the people that anybody else having a great banquet would not invite. Now, you probably know that Jesus is talking about the Jews. The Jews were the ones that made excuses. They make every excuse, they put up every pretext to not hear him. At the beginning of the chapter, it was, well, he heals on the Sabbath. Other times it was, well, he does things by the power of Satan. Or, hey, why don't your disciples ever fast? Or why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Or he eats too much, he drinks too much. What does God think of all the excuses we can come up with to not accept his word and not accept his son? Doesn't God get upset that he speaks to us and we would turn our way from him? We would turn a deaf ear to him? We would refuse to listen and would refuse to accept the invitation to come into the kingdom? The Jews were judging themselves unworthy to attend the banquet, to be in the kingdom. And likewise today, those that turned the deaf ear, that refused to listen to God and listen to God honestly, openly, with a pure heart, they judge themselves unworthy as well. So now he goes to the Gentiles, those that nobody else invites. Those are the lame and the crippled and the blind, and then those that are on the highways and hedges. Those are the ones that come and fill his house. So the Jews rejected, so now the invitation goes to others. I don't think God likes excuses. God gives us every tool to be faithful, including his grace and his mercy. But if we make excuses, what we end up doing is saying, God, you didn't do enough. Look, here, I came up short, and it's not my fault. It bothers me when my kids make excuses, and I call them out on it. That's just an excuse. Don't make excuses. Wouldn't God treat us the same way as we'd treat our kids? Don't make excuses. That's what God is telling us. Accept what he has to say. Use what he has given to us. Utilize the tools that he provides. There is a tremendous gift that is offered to us. A gift that is incomparable. A gift that is beyond what we would even ask for ourselves. His grace and his mercy, the promise of eternal life. And who are we then to make excuses about not accepting that gift? Excuses lead to disobedience. Disobedience is sin. Sin deserves death and separation from God. So excuses don't hold water. Let's attend the banquet. Let's be in the kingdom. God is still inviting today. Think about the possibility of any excuses you might be offering to God today. It's very easy to do. We need to be very careful. And so today we can pray that we accept God's invitation at all times and that we do so without excuse. And perhaps even to include in that prayer that we recognize when we're making the excuses so we can stop. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.